KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy, breezy, and 30 degrees in Atlantic. We look for cloudy to partly cloudy skies today. A chance of sprinkles, a high of 47. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. Currently, winds are out of the north at 15 to 20 miles per hour, making it feel more like around 19 degrees. In Western Iowa news, one person died and four others were injured during a collision last night in Calhoun County. The Iowa State Patrol says a 2005 Dodge Caravan was traveling east in the westbound lane of Highway 20. At the same time, a 2017 GMC Yukon was traveling west in the same lane. After the van hit the SUV, both vehicles came to rest in the median. The 37-year-old driver of the van, who was wearing a seatbelt, died at the scene. Three of the SUV occupants were transported by ambulance to Trinity Regional Hospital in Fort Dodge. Another person in the SUV was flown by Life Flight to Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. No names have been released. The crash, which happened around 8:30 p.m. Wednesday, remains under investigation. A semi-tractor trailer driver from northwest Iowa was injured during an accident Wednesday morning in Monona County. The State Patrol says 48-year-old Kenneth Patton of Milford was transported by Onawa EMS to Burgess Hospital in Onawa after the 2019 Volvo he was driving rolled onto its right side. Officials said the rig was traveling south on I-29 at around 5:45 a.m. when, for reasons unknown, it left the southbound lanes and crossed the median before entering the northbound lanes, traveling south and then rolling onto the passenger side. The semi came to rest, blocking both northbound lanes. The State Patrol was assisted at the scene by Onawa Fire and Rescue, Whiting Police, the Monona County Sheriff's Office, and Iowa DOT Motor Vehicle Enforcement Officers. Police say a worker has died in a northwest Iowa transportation hub accident. The Sioux City Journal reports the incident happened shortly before noon Wednesday at the Big Sioux Terminal in Sioux City. Police Lieutenant Mark Kirkpatrick says a worker was crushed as he attempted to move train cars and the death was being treated as an accident. Kirkpatrick said officers were still investigating the incident. The name of the worker killed has not yet been released. The Creston Police Department says three people were arrested on warrants Wednesday afternoon. 30-year-old Julian Allison of Creston was arrested at around 2:15 p.m. on a Union County warrant for violation of probation, on a Union County warrant for original possession of controlled substance charge. And 26-year-old Anthony Cross of Creston was arrested in the 200 block of South Lincoln Street at around 6 p.m. Wednesday on two counts of possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and on a Union County warrant for failure to comply with pretrial release orders. Both men were being held at the Union County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. 31-year-old Nicholas Crenshaw of Apton was arrested at around 9:30 a.m. Wednesday in Creston. Crenshaw was taken into custody at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a warrant for failure to appear in court on a fourth-degree theft charge. Crenshaw was later released on a $1,000 bond. Well, lawmakers say the stories they've heard from patients and families are spurring some major reforms of Iowa's mental health care system. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Mary Neubauer of Clive wrote a widely read obituary for her son after he took his own life in late September.
I told legislators I'm not asking them to do anything for me. It's too late for us and for Sergey. We have the opportunity to save lives. I want us to do better, and I am not alone.
Neubauer will be at the Capitol again today as Governor Kim Reynolds signs two bills into law. One will require school employees to undergo at least an hour's worth of suicide prevention training each year. The other seeks to address flaws in the system for treating mentally ill Iowans. Representative Shannon Lundgren of Piasta emphasizes that both bills passed the legislature unanimously.
It was because of those people back home that were pushing, saying we're not getting the services we need at the right time, and we have nowhere to go.
University of Northern Iowa political science professor Christopher Larimer says studies confirm personal stories rather than raw statistics are what move people to action.
Any sort of human suffering or any sort of injustice, those individual stories are going to matter more.
Advocates who worked on these two bills say the next step is to lobby legislators to provide more money for the mental health care system. I'm O.K. Henderson.
A Lamar's man has been given 2 years of probation for using counterfeit cash at a Sioux City casino. Woodbury County District Court records say 27-year-old Kurt Jones pleaded guilty this week to forgery. He was fined $750 and given a deferred judgment, which will allow his conviction to be removed from court records if he successfully completes the terms of his probation. Police say Jones, Brittany Derby, and Jacqueline Hartsock made several cash transactions on August the 5th last year at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Sioux City. The bills were later found to be counterfeit. Derby and Hartsock have also been given probation. Well, 25 delegates attended the Cass County Democratic Party's convention last Saturday, March 24th. County Democratic Party Chair Sherry Telly said the proposed platform was adopted unanimously. Delegates moving on to the Democratic Party's district and state conventions are Carol Preston of Griswold and Jim Jordan and Sherry Telly, both of Atlantic. Nine alternates were chosen: Jeannie Jordan, Jan Lund, Gary Schwartz, Don Sontag, and Rebecca Sponsler, all from Atlantic. Jordan Agin and Evelyn Kopp, both from Oneida, and Mike Conry, both from Griswold. Sherry Telly will act as the body's representative on the district platform committee. Sandra Sothman of Atlantic was elected as the affirmative action chair. Jordan Agin and Evelyn Pop, both from Oneida, were elected as precinct committee persons to the county's central committee. All three candidates for the state legislature were present at last weekend's events to speak at the convention. Warren Varley, running for Iowa House District 20, Denise O'Brien, candidate for Iowa House District 21, and Sarah Ramsey, who's a candidate for Iowa Senate District 11, spoke of their political and life experiences, as well as their top policy priorities. Chair Sherry Telly said the convention and speakers were well received and the Democrats were energized for the 2018 elections. Wednesday marked the close of the filing period for persons seeking nominations to have their names on the ballot for the June 5th primary election. The Montgomery County Auditor's Office reports those who have filed their certified nomination petitions with the office include incumbent Carlene Bruning, a Republican for Montgomery County Recorder, also Republicans Tara Hughes and Jackie Porter for Montgomery County Treasurer, Republican Drew Swanson for Montgomery County Attorney, Republicans Rudy Kennard, and Roger Wagner for Supervisor District 1 and Supervisor District 2. Incumbent Mike Olson is running unopposed. And Supervisor District 4, incumbent Mark Peterson, a Republican, also is running unopposed. The polling place for the June 5th primary is the Red Oak Gold Fair Building, Red Oak Fire Station, Red Oak First Christian Church, the Elliott Community Building, Stanton Fire Department, and Grant Fire Department, along with the Villisca Community Building. Montgomery County Auditor's Office will be open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. If you have any questions about voter registration, absentee ballots, or voting, you can call the Auditor's Office. Absentee ballots will be available after May 7th at the Auditor's Office to be voted through June the 4th. Those requesting by mail should send their request as soon as possible. Now, the Auditor's Office wanted you to know that voters will be required to present specified identification in order to vote. If you're on record with the Iowa DOT as having a driver's license or a non-operator's ID, you'll need to present that card at the polls. If the voter doesn't have those specified forms of identification, they'll need to present other forms of ID to establish your identity and residence. The law is very specific about those other forms. For more information, again, you can contact the Montgomery County Auditor's Office. And the Democrat who spent the past 2 weeks trying to qualify as a candidate in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District primary has ended her campaign. Teresa Greenfield of Des Moines launched her campaign last summer and was a leading fundraiser, but her campaign manager confessed he forged some signatures on Greenfield's first set of nominating petitions. So she launched a second effort to gather the required signatures, but that fell short. On Monday, members of the Democratic Party's 3rd District Governing Board nominated her for Congress. Late Wednesday, Iowa Attorney General Tom Miller said Iowa law does not permit Greenfield to qualify for the ballot in that way. Greenfield said she's shutting down her campaign. That's a tough pill to swallow, but she accepts the Attorney General's decision. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.